It's Friday, November 6th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a primer of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Here, I've got a great show for you, and for those of you on Ustream, new lights in the studio. So I hope that you guys will comment on it at the end of the show. Let me know what you think about the new lighting. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. Got a great show for everyone tonight. And, of course, you know what to do next. Strap in real tight because here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right. I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There's no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey, for those of you that were watching on Ustream, we missed part of the intro. I reached down and wiggled the connector and you guys heard the audio come in. For those of you that are listening to the audio portion of the show, you know no difference. Actually, see, I just tattletailed on myself. So, hey, everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran, and of course, I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website, and sign up for our newsletter as well. That'll get you the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. The show notes contain everything I talk about tonight and all of the listener-submitted content. So we got a number of articles tonight that folks have submitted. And I've gotten a bunch of submissions on what to do to improve the video. And for those of you that are listening to the audio portion of the show, you don't care. But I want to thank everyone so far that submitted stuff. We'll let the suggestions keep coming in. Some of you have sent me a whole litany of things, which would break my bank account if I was to implement them. But hopefully by next Tuesday, I will have implemented at least one of those items, and then we will we'll have a winner and dole out some cash. But lots of great stuff from everyone so far. That's been, matter of fact, a whole bunch of great ideas. Hey, of course, I want to welcome listeners from the 160 countries that tune in worldwide to the audio portion of the show, and of course, those of you that are checking out the show on Ustream, thanks for coming and hanging with me at this late hour, wherever you may be. Got a lot of stuff to go over, but yes, new lights in the studio. It turns out that the light panel rep here in Hawaii called me and said, hey, I can't do it on Thursday. Can I come over on Wednesday? I'm like, yeah. So he came over to the house, and this was a totally amazing experience in itself, because I've got a video of really the delta, the difference in what it was and what it is, and the difference is night and day. Maybe those of you on Ustream, you really can't see it in the video, but if I go back and show you the old way, you guys will be like, wow, what a difference. And I'll get that video up so that y'all can check it out. But here's the thing that was interesting happened. This guy arrived, and he had a car full of light panels. They're one by one LED lights. Absolutely no heat on these things whatsoever. I've got three of them in the room right now. 95 watts is a total power consumption on them. Very low, just not very hard at all to manage. And he came in and he says, "Listen," he says, "I do this part time, but I've got my brother is in California, and we're gonna get your stream up, and he's going to walk us through setting these lights up." I thought, okay, that's going to be cool. So we got his brother on the phone, and little did I know, his brother was one of the executives at lightpanels.com, at the company itself. So, I'm thinking, I mean, like way up in the food chain, top tier type of guy. that has been doing lights for 35 years. And I was pretty well impressed. I'm like getting world-class service here. So we monkeyed around for 2 hours. And part of it was, too, is he came during the daylight and we had to block off the windows to get the simulation of me shooting at night. And when those of you that are watching on the video right now, on my right is a single light panel. It's a spot. 5600 is the actual, it's a lumen light. It's basically the warmth, or I don't know, whatever the temperature setting of the light, 5600. And when they put that on me and he got it adjusted where he wanted it, he had him put in a filter. And so he put in a quarter CTO, whatever that means. And I was just blown away just by that single putting of the filter. It really changed the look here. So in other words, they did the spotlight or the key. The key was the first light that was put up on the right. And then they put he got another light out, which was a flood. And that's on the left-hand corner. It's basically up really close to where the corner cam is. And it kind of, what it's doing, it's pointing a little bit up and reflecting off the ceiling. So really, there's two of these one-by-ones in here that's providing the light that's in the room right now. And while it's a different light, it's warmer. I think the room looks better. Now, if you look, those of you on Ustream, if you look a little bit behind me, there is another light that's a little mini light. And actually, what do they call this thing? I'll have to look. It's called a Micro Pro. And it's basically setting, it's about 3 feet back from my cabinets. And while I have the cabinet lights on, it's also projecting onto the glass. And we had to adjust the glass just a little bit so you guys wouldn't see any glare. But it adds a little depth to the actual cabinet over there. And actually, I probably should have changed the batteries before we got started because it's battery operated and it comes with an adapter as well that I can put on it later. But anyway, three lights. And when I was looking at B&H and looking at these by myself, I kind of thought, well, maybe I'll need four. And obviously, the price differential is huge. And when I got the quote today, they sent me a quote to provide a little discount on it as well, which was awesome. And I'm in the price range of about half of what I thought I was going to have to spend. So I'm quite happy, to be honest with you. I really, really am. You know, it may take a little tweaking, but, here's the thing. It's totally aggravating. I've been stressing over these lights for a year. And really, it took a single phone call, and they came out 2 hours really kind of in the studio here making the mix up or making it work best. And we spent a lot of time basically darkening the room. And I think the light is really, really good. So anyway, we'll see what happens with that. You guys are probably sick and tired of me talking about lighting. But the only really critical thing that Pat had to say when we were going through this was this camera view right here, which I just switched to, is not real good. And even when it was angled, he doesn't particularly care for this. We got to work on this, put a different camera on there with a bigger lens or something like that. So this view at some point is going to have to change. Now, if I go back to the left-hand corner view, you guys can see that camera, that point-tilt zoom camera that's up there is really bright. And the reason is I can't white balance that camera. So maybe, another year from now, maybe then I'll have to replace the point tilt zooms with a little higher quality camera. But that is not in the budget for a long, long time. So we'll see what happens with this, and we'll just be a work in progress. So now that I've bored all the audio listeners, I will say I'm very happy. And he was nice enough to leave the demo units here with me. And so I'll have those until my order arrives and we actually get my lights up. And we'll quit talking about it. It is what it is now. So I'll do a little more talk about light panels in the future. And hopefully we can get something hooked up where I can get some discount codes going with them and maybe offer them to audience members and podcasters as well. I don't know if I mentioned on the last show, new writers. We got a number of new writers at Geek News Central. The posting amount is back up kind of where I liked to see it. So we got a number of new contributors over there. So I hope that you guys will make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com on a regular basis. And it's definitely some good stuff going on. The folks are putting together a lot of products. Did a lot of work. The last couple of days on CES 2010, it was probably Tuesday night. I spent 5 or 6 hours working on planning and everything else for it. Things are starting to shape up. We've had a number of you that have asked to come out and actually run cameras and so forth. I think right now we're covered. We're having some team members from Raw Voice that are going to be coming out. I think we're going to be at 6 or 7 right now. So I think we're covered on bodies. May have one more individual one fight to come out. We haven't decided yet or not. One of my good friends that's out in California. So considering that, or actually one of the listeners of the show that's out in California, Tom, who's one of our longtime listeners. So we're trying to figure out how we can fit him into the mix as well. But we'll see what kind of happens here. But the CES planning's moving forth. We're about ready to make a bunch of hotel reservations and cost our way down, as I talked about in the last show. I'm really excited about that. That makes it easier. The show's going to be considerably smaller. There's no SANS this year, which means it will be in the convention center proper the entire time, which will prove to be interesting because we used to spend at least a day in the SANS because there was a lot of – it's a target-rich environment, and we're going to have to dig around more for those folks. And hopefully they've got them kind of centrally located, those folks that they moved from the SANS back into the main convention center. The CEA website saying about 2,500 companies, but I've seen some blog posts already. Maybe there's only about 2,000, and attendance is supposed to be down. But I got to get the credentials work for the entire team and get ready to go. But, yeah, it looks like I'm going to be hitting Vegas probably the morning of 4th of January, and then we start hot and heavy the night of the 5th with CES Unveiled. The 6th is Digital Experience. Show starts on 7th. That night's showstoppers, and then all the great content. So looking forward to bringing you a great amount of content from CES again in 2010. And, of course, we're going to have some back channel stuff going on. We got some new ideas this year for that, working on the audio quality. So lots of things going on there. We'll keep you advised what's happening and keep you up to date. Attended a local tech conference here this week called TechNet, and ran into the Sprint was there, and they had a booth, and I was talking with one of the gals in the booth, and I asked her, hey, what's going on with 4G? And she goes, better get yourself a 3G, 4G card now, which answered a question I had, whether or not they had them. They do. She says, because parts of Hawaii, and she kind of said it under her breath, are already turned on. So I got to get to a Sprint store like lickety-split and pick up a new card, and I'm real excited about that. Hey, just an update on the podcast awards. We had a significant number of the folks that volunteered to get through the reviews. Sadly, I've got 5 categories from reviewers that never came back. Even though I had 2 people reviewing each category, and so I'm stuck to go through and really review 5 categories. I'll be doing that tomorrow, working with our auditing firm out in Ohio, and they're going to be helping me out, and we'll get that those last 5 categories done so that we can announce, I'm hoping, on Saturday, the slate of shows that are going to make the slate. It's an interesting slate so far this year. I'm a lot of shows I have never, ever seen before. Tuned into nice shows. I think you guys are going to enjoy the mock-up. A lot of great talent. I think you guys are going to be excited for the simple fact of going through that list. I mean, these shows have come out of the woodwork. And yet, when I go to their websites, you can tell they've done a lot of work, and they're really on. And by the number of nominations some of these sites have got, you can tell their audiences are booming. So excited about that. And, of course, our contest suggestion is still out. So if you've got suggestions for the video, let me know, and then we'll continue to make improvements here. All right, check out the free magazine offers on the website. Anytime you subscribe to any of those, that helps me out here, of course. And, of course, we want to thank GoDaddy.com for being a longtime sponsor here of the show. GoDaddy really takes care of me, keeps the lights on here, lets me to, you know, buy light panels and that kind of stuff. And so it only comes because you go out there and support me by using my promo codes. And really, all of this would not be possible without the great Ohana out there and picking up their products and services and sharing the codes with their friends, family members, coworkers. Anytime you get in a geeky conversation about domain names and stuff, hey, point them my way. And if you blog, hey, link up to my website as well. Appreciate any links back. That helps us out well as driving traffic to those codes, and the conversions are where it's at. And if you're looking to pick up a domain name, dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account. Hey, really, you know where I go. Geek News Central runs on a dedicated server at GoDaddy. Matter of fact, we're approaching a year since it's been rebooted. It is a great product line, and the promo code Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15%. ComSale will get you .com domains at $7.49 on renewals as well. That Todd20 code will get you 20% off on 1 year shared hosting accounts. Any of the codes work on the hosting accounts as well, so don't be afraid to use any of the codes out there. That Todd20 will probably save you the most amount of money on most of your purchases for shared hosting accounts. Let's talk a little bit about GoToMeeting. We're going to be having a roundtable this coming Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific. I got a number of topics lined up. One of our guests that we had lined up has kind of fell off the face of the earth. So Andy's scrambling a little bit for some content, but I believe Jeffrey and I both have our topics locked in. Jeffrey from geekazine.com. Make sure you check Jeffrey's site out. Of course, Andy's site over at sdrnews.com. But we're going to be having a great online session talking about a variety of different products and services on Saturday. So if you've got time and you're not out and about doing things, definitely check us out. But don't worry, if you miss the live event, you'll be able to see the restream of the show. Of course, we can record that with GoToMeeting with the online tools that it provides. And that's one thing that's kind of cool. We don't talk about very often about the GoToMeeting product, is that when you're in a session, when you're doing something, it's a training session, or you're working with a group of people, and let's say Sally, Joe, and Frank are missing from the session, you can record it, save it, put it somewhere where they can get to it, and they can rewatch the presentation. And it's good for record-keeping purposes as well. When you do record a session, you have multiple people, and make sure you let them know that you're recording as well. That's always a polite thing to do. But, you know, you want to use GoToMeeting to hold online meetings. This is the best product in the world to do that with. And, of course, the product is brought to you by Citrix. It's the easiest online meeting service available. And really, we've taught people how to use, really, we didn't even really have to teach them, just said, okay, go. And it's really a no-brainer. It's just like using your desktop. And when you do that, you know, everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com. They can see your computer on their machine. So it's just like meeting in person. You can host unlimited meetings for one low flat rate. Now, this is what I need you to do. If you haven't tried a trial of GoToMeeting yet, go out there and give it a trial. Do me a favor. Go out there and download it. Give it a run for, you know, 25, 26 days. See if you like it. If you do, continue the service. If you don't, cancel it. But you can get a month of unlimited online meetings free by going to GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast for a free trial. And really, you guys, you know, GoDaddy and GoToMeeting, longtime sponsors here, and they really take care of me and the show. And, of course, a lot of other podcasters as well, so your support is definitely appreciated. All right, let me go ahead and look at my little list here of what I've got to talk about tonight as far as my pre-tech show portion. Boy, I went real long on that. I jabbered too long about the audio stuff. And let me go ahead and get into the regular tech content. That's what you've all came for. Let's talk about computer failures. Now, imagine that you had a computer that's been running since 1970. And that computer was used to control all of the traffic signals in a specific county. Well, if you live in Montgomery County, Maryland, and you were trying to drive to work on Wednesday morning, you probably were a little bit frustrated because your traffic lights didn't work. The computer, again, which dates back to 1970. Now, here's the question I'm thinking. Why would the county have relied on a computer that was built 30 plus years ago? Somebody is an idiot. But anyway, this computer has failed. It is a single point of failure. So I guess over the last couple of days, there has been total chaos in and around Montgomery County, Maryland. Now, if you live in that area, if you live in that area, I want you to email me and let me know what happened and what they're saying in that county. But right now, the system's down with no ETA in sight. So kind of funny, but can you imagine that? A computer from 1970. I bet you that there'll be a new computer in there very quick, don't you think? All right, how many of you have bought Crim Notes? How many of you have went online looking for searches for answers in textbooks? You know, there's companies out there that make and actually create answers to a lot of the textbooks that college students are buying. And there's a battle going on right now between those companies that make that produce those answers and the actual folks that create the textbooks. They've been in a war saying, hey, those answers that you create are copyright owned by the company that actually has written the book. Now, this is kind of crazy. Imagine you've bought a textbook. You opened it to page 67, and it's got 10 questions there for you to answer. If you put those, you know, you answer the questions, and then you put those answers on the internet, you are now, according to a court, that answers to textbook questions are a derivative work. And someone who was selling such answers online was infringing on the copyright of the textbook publisher. Does this make any sense to all of you? It doesn't make any sense to me because, you know, I don't get it. I really, really don't. But the court, that's what the court has ruled. So I imagine if you put them out there and if you don't make any money off it, maybe are you still guilty? Probably. I don't know, but it seems pretty pointless to me. These textbooks are updated so often that, you know, this is how they get students. You know, every year there's a new revision, revision 8, revision 9, 12, 13, 14. And if you bought any books for college classes recently, you'll know how expensive they are. Generally, the revisions are very small and the answers don't change very much. But, you know, this is where they keep the kids jumping when they're out there looking for data on these textbooks. But anyway, now it's a copyright violation to do that. All right, FCC, moving on here to a little bit on the fair use side. The FCC is poised to let Hollywood break your TV and your DVR. Well, it appears that the FCC is about ready to give in and let the MPAA break your DVR and TV. What they're trying to do is they're trying to give, or what they're going to allow, is they're going to allow the MPAA more control of the DRM settings for specific movies and stuff that they're pushing through cable networks. And, you know, basically this is all about control. What they want to do is, we all know that when a movie's in the movie theaters, you know, it's a while before a DVD comes out from that movie. Usually it's already out of the movie theaters, not making any more revenue. You know, that timeline has begun to be shrunk down. You also know that if you buy pay-per-view quite often, you'll notice that generally the DVD is not out, or maybe just pretty close to the same time. Well, they're trying to make some more segments. Basically, they're trying to extract as many dollars out of sales of that content before they allow it to put it on on your television sets. And when they do put it on your television sets, they want to make sure that there's no way that you can copy it or record it, so that when you want to watch the program again or the movie again, you're going to have to go out and buy the DVD. They don't want it sitting on your DVR for 3 years to let you replay it. So a group called Public Knowledge is asking people to send a letter to the FCC protesting this decision. Now, I'm not a, as this is an indicating on Tech Dirt, I'm also not a fan of form letters, but you know what you should do is you should read over the letter and craft your own, in your own words, polite version, and send it off. Okay, and the only way that something like this is going to be affected to get some change or get the FCC thinking differently is if we all do that. So I'm going to encourage you to do that. Go over and check that. Have the link up in the show notes, of course. You can read the full article plus the link to sending this letter off to the FCC or your version of it. There's been some polls done basically talking about file sharing, and it appears that right now what's happening is most file share users are going underground, and they're using services that basically do IP masking, and they're doing a lot of things to kind of go to ground and hide their activity in the peer-to-peer space. And there's a lot of groups out there, a lot of sites that are, you know, helping people do just that. So I think it's going to be curious to see what happens. I think at some point here in the future, you know, it may take someone, you may have to know someone to get an information to a file sharing site, and, you know, have to be almost vetted before you get access to it. It is kind of curious what's going on with that, but and they say that all this attacks on file sharing is causing people to go to ground and under the threat of prosecution and so forth in whatever country they may be in. Of course, if legislatures have their way, as I linked on an article on my website talking about a treaty that's being negotiated right now, it could be to the point where ISPs are going to have to will start policing what we're all doing, and then they'll be responsible for shutting us down. Now, there's a bill that's basically fast-tracking through Congress, and it's a lot of it has to do with the recent Ponzi schemes in the financial space. What this bill is doing, it's called the Investor Protection Act of 2009, and it's got a wide-bodied support on both sides of the, you know, basically the, you know, the majority and the minority, both are supporting this big. What's curious is that while this thing is mostly an SEC bill, giving them direction on what to do to protect people from these Ponzi schemes, buried on page 92 of the document, according to Ars Technica, there is a language that would remove the safe harbor protection to keep ISPs from being liable for information transmitted over the network. So removing safe harbor, what that means is right now, the safe harbor provision is really ISPs can claim they're oblivious to what's going on with the traffic on their network. But this the safe harbor protection being removed is going to invoke provisions where the safe harbor does not exist when it comes to money laundering, any type of securities exchange, type of fraud, financial fraud in itself. So we'll see what happens with this. I don't know how they're going to get ISPs to, you know, basically monitor for this type of activity. But it is an interesting development here in this bill. So we'll keep you advised on that. I guess, you know, anything it's we can do to put these crooks in jail is a good thing. But the burden is going to be on the ISPs on this, on basically the language of this bill. All right, Ars Technica did another review on how RIAA, basically the accusation, not all right, how RIAA lawsuits are progressing. And what they found is that file sharing damage awards to record labels are approaching some very interesting amounts. What they're finding is that people that completely ignore a lawsuit, in other words, you get a summons at the door, and you know, it comes in the mail and you ignore it, generally what's been happening so far on average is that an individual gets hit with a $750 per song fine for each song. In other words, if you've ignored it, you're really going to, you know, that's what's going to happen. It's going to be $750 per song by a default judgment. Now, as compared to like J.B. Thomas or Joel Tenenbaum, who basically fought them, their per song infringements range from $80,000 to $22,500. It appears here, if you look at some of the amounts that they're showing, that it's almost cheaper to ignore the RIAA and to go to a default judgment, because what they're finding is people that negotiate a deal with the RIAA usually end up paying more than the $750 per song price tag that those are paying. They're ignoring the lawsuits. So I have this link up in the show notes. It kind of, you know, I would never recommend someone to ignore a lawsuit, but, you know, because you could, you know, get some judge who gets angry at you. You know, you might end up with the $80,000 per song damage as well. But so far, that has not been the case. Over on the BBC, got an article about some new spectacles, yes, glasses, that a NEC, a firm in Japan, has been working on. These glasses are unique in that they do not have a lens, but instead use a tiny projector to display images on your retina. NEC is saying that it's planned a version that used real-time translation to provide subtitles for conversation between people lacking or, you know, people that don't speak the same language. And it's also said that this technology is being designed for customer service people. So essentially, you know, you've got your headset on and this little thing's in front of your eye, and your information that comes up about Joe customer is immediately flashed to your eyeball. Now, why they can't look at a computer screen and get that information, I don't know. But apparently, these spectacles are due to go on sale in 2010 with a variety of utilization processes for customer service people, people that are talking with foreign customers and so forth. So this was debuted at a Tokyo trade show, and they're saying that when it goes on sale, a batch of 30 headsets will cost about 7.5 million yen. That's about 50,000 pounds. It says the cost does not include the price of the translation tools and or software. Moving on to the next article. All right, ladies, I want you to weigh in here. A woman has decided to live stream the birth of her child. A 23-year-old teacher from Minnesota named Lindsay, who is withholding her last name to preserve her anonymity, has decided not to withhold your fascination with every moment of her not to withhold their fascination with every moment of the birth of their first child. She's going to broadcast what some has described as the most personal moment in their lives, and you're going to be able to watch her firstborn emerge into this vibrant but confused world live streamed to the internet on Moms Like Me. I don't know about that. Now, I guess, to put it nicely, it would depend on angles of cameras. I think, in this age, you know, the camera back by mom's shoulder, you know, in a respectable position with the right draping, with, you know, the hospital garments and stuff, would be appropriate. But I don't know, as a husband, that I would like my wife streamed to the internet. Matter of fact, call me old-fashioned, I just don't think that would be a good thing. She wants to do this so her family and friends and people that follow her on the internet will basically follow along. Huh, ladies, you got to tell me. What's your thoughts on this here? Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline, +1 619-342-7365. Well, heck, you know, we got everything else on the internet. Why not live in living color, detailed births? Okay, that's all I'm going to say about that. It's a beautiful thing, you know, but it's, you know, it's a family thing. It's like a personal time. It's, you know, oh, gosh. All right, how many of you use RoboForm Password Manager? I personally don't use that specific application. The one that I use is called KeePass. I like KeePass. It's a pretty good application. But I know a lot of people use RoboForm Password Manager. But RoboForm has come out with one for iPhone users. And they've had a lot of challenges with it because the iPhone, the way it doesn't allow two applications essentially to be operating at the same time, the times that you need the application, you have to close one, you have to open this other one up, you have to copy and paste the password into, it just seems like a lot of work. And this particular password manager on the iPhone has not gotten a lot of positive reviews. What are you guys using? Are you guys using a password manager at all on the iPhone? Or do you just not visit as many accounts that you have? Or are you doing like I've told you not to do in the past and using the same password? Now, I will give you some tricks and some things that I have done in the past. You know, we all have our 9, 10, 12 maybe password combinations that we use. And usually that's about all an individual can remember is maybe that. And it's usually maybe the same three letters, a word, some other text, and, you know, you jumble that up and cross it back and forth. But a lot of times, if you combine a password with elements of a website's domain name or something that you look for every time on the page, you can really get some pretty good password combinations by using, you know, maybe the first 12 or 13 characters that you would normally use and then add 4, 5, 6 more characters depending upon the website. Now, if someone breaks your process, then you're totally hosed up. But it's really kind of the only way that I have found to be able to navigate with the iPhone is by having, you know, this kind of this almost, it's like my own internal key where I decipher, you know, I go to a website and say, okay, it's that. So that means my password's this by elements I see on the webpage. How many of you do that? What's your trick to remembering a lot of passwords? I'm sure everyone has their own processes they use. Are you using a tool? Now, I use, like I said, I use KeePass for some of my very complex passwords. I have very complex passwords for servers and bank accounts and that kind of stuff. And that, you know, basically allows me what I hope, as long as that application's never compromised, I should be okay. So what are you guys using out there? All right, moving on over to an eWeek article. Talking about network security and hardware, Senate committee has passed a data breach law. While the details I was not able to go through and read, what they're basically putting in place is a new bill that would set new standards for breach notifications, and it's made its way out of the Senate's Judiciary Committee today. Now, I'm glad to see some bills, maybe we won't like some of them, but I'm glad to see some of the bills are starting to move it out of these committees after they've spent so much time on, or they're still spending so much time on the health care bill. But the Personal Data Privacy and Security Act of 2009, which is Senate Bill 1490, and the Data Breach Notification Act, Senate Bill 139, are both moved out of these committees, and it's going to make it to the floor. Looks like it's going to happen. But really what it does is set very strict reporting structures for if you've done business with a company and used a credit card and that data is compromised, companies have X amount of time to report it to you, provide different types of credit monitoring services, and they've really tightened up the timeline so that we're not going to hear these stories about, oh yeah, your credit card was breached 2 years ago and we're now just reporting it, and no, we didn't talk to the FBI about it, but now there's all kinds of reporting rules that are going to come in place with these two. So I don't have the context of this bill. I haven't seen any positive, negative about it. Just want to let you know it's out there if you want to check it out yourself. Again, it's Senate Bill 1490, and Senate Bill number 139. Hey, Big Patch Tuesday coming up. Critical Windows security bulletins are slated to be released. How many of you been getting some updates mid-month here? I've gotten three or four. So, you know, Patch Tuesdays turned into Patch Weekly, it seems like, for the last month. But a total of 15 security vulnerabilities are going to be fixed with this release, and a couple of critical Windows bulletins and three other rated important. There's going to be some stuff for Windows 7 as well. So if you've already upgraded machines to Windows 7 or bought a Windows 7 computer, you're going to get some critical patches as well. Hey, big announcement out of Ford. And matter of fact, they contacted me, and I was not able to attend the live streaming press conference. But I did get – I asked the PR rep to send me over the press release. And he did so, which basically I found some more articles about it on the web, and the one I'm going to link you all to is one by ABC News, shocking as it may be. I think this is the first time I ever linked to an ABC News article. But Ford has announced airbags for backseat passengers. Now, those of you that have small kids, you're going to be like, oh, what is that? You know, because, you know, these airbags that deploy in front of you, you know, have proven to be dangerous to kids at a certain age and weight. But these new airbags are going to be essentially built into the seatbelt. So you're going to put the seatbelt on like you normally do, and then the airbag is actually going to be stitched into the actual seatbelt itself, which should prove to be pretty interesting, because I've seen some I've seen seatbelts get slammed in doors, and, you know, well, that's going to have to be some pretty tough material to protect the airbag. But what will happen is when the airbag goes off, instead of exploding at you, it explodes out. And they show basically some demos of it. And everyone's saying so far they're going to be safe. They're going to be child safe. So instead of really, you know, instead of the bag coming at you, it goes out and then provides a bigger, you know, bigger surface for you to push into. So I think this is great. The Ford says these seatbelts, airbags will deploy more slowly and with much less force than a frontal airbag. They say it make it safe for a rear seat occupant from a young child to an elderly passenger. So, and they've tested them with car seats and with the booster seats and everything else. And so far, so good. Hey, you know, I forgot to do something at the beginning of the show. And doggone it, I was going to do that, but I need to stop right now because I just saw something flash on my screen. Hey, big time condolences go out to the families at Fort Hood. Of course, you've all seen the news today about the shooting that took place, and you know, it's truly a horrible thing that that this would happen. Considering, you know, as we're starting to hear details about the rank of the individual, about his, you know, basically how long he'd been in the military, having spent 24 years in the military, there's absolutely no excuse for him to have not gotten help, to have, you know, there are ways. You want out of the military? You can get out of the military. You want out that bad, you can get out. And for him to have done this is quite shocking. And, of course, I'm hearing now that the suspect is still alive, and we'll see what happens with this. But, you know, my heart goes out to all those families in Fort Hood. And, you know, nothing – I think all of us are probably – have watched the news today in absolute horror. And, you know, expect something like this to happen to folks in Iraq, in combat, or Afghanistan. You don't expect it to happen on a post where really it's kind of like your safe zone. And this is a horrible tragedy. We'll see what happens as I'm sure this thing's going to be psychoanalyzed to death. But in my opinion, absolutely no excuse for what has happened in this individual, and justice will be served with him, I am sure. Okay, so I know this has interrupted the flow of the show. I just saw that. I said, "Oh, I was going to do that at the beginning," I just needed to get that off my chest. So I apologize for the interruption, but I think you guys understand where I'm coming from on that. All right, let's get back into the tech content. Windows 7 is going under some very tight scrutiny right now. And what they have found is a recently conducted test by malware researchers reveals that 8 out of 10 malware samples used in the test was able to successfully bypass Windows 7's default user access control settings. These findings were also confirmed by a separate test done by another company with an emphasis on how one of the most popular scareware variants bypassed Windows 7's default UAC settings as well. People have complained big time in Vista that the user access settings were too difficult. Too many times people were asked to confirm stuff, and people wanked and cried, and, you know, they were upset that, you know, they had to press confirm to do something. So Microsoft acquiesced and didn't make the UAC so restrictive. And now we're seeing more malware variants get through. So be aware of this out there when you're surfing the internet. And don't be afraid to turn the UAC settings up a little bit, especially for your kids' accounts. And anyway, you got to check this article out. It's over on ZDNet. I'll have the link up in the show notes. All right, PC World's got a cool one. 6 iPhone disasters and how to deal with them. Of course, number one is a broken screen. Number two is in the washing machine. You know, kids breaking the phone. There's all kinds of scenarios here. I'll have them linked up in the show notes. You can check it out. All right. Oh, big news out of the Apple side of the house, too. Apple is not disabling OS X Atom support after all. There's a big scare going on that those of you that are running machines on the P55 Atom Intel chipset, you are basically going to no longer to be use your Hack-a-Mac. In other words, the Macs that you build out of Intel PC machines. So it's saying right now that the Atom chip support is working fine in the 10C535 build of OS X 10.6.2. And the EULA still states that OS X is to run on Apple's hardware, but it looks like OS 86 hackers are still going to be able to use OS X now. So good news on that part. Also, more information coming out from Adobe Shockwave. It appears that there's some critical vulnerabilities in over 450 million internet-enabled desktops, which were... They're finding a vulnerability could allow remote code execution by tricking users into visiting a web page using either Internet Explorer or either Mozilla Firefox. This is all about a Shockwave vulnerability. So hopefully Adobe gets their act together and gets this thing basically patched. Only time will tell, but I'll have this link up in the show notes. You can check it out. Hey, congratulations to the App Store. There's more than 100,000 apps now. So, you know, that's an amazing number. It really is 100,000 apps. And to think I've got like 25 on my phone, how many more are out there? It's just amazing. 100,000 apps. How can you find anything? You can't. You really can't. Hey, got to share this with you. It was over on Mark Cuban's website. It says, a great business idea. The email of the day. Imagine you're out of work, but yet you've thought about a idea that could save the country a lot of money. You send this out to an email to a bunch of people saying, hey, I'm self-made, I'm retired, I'm financially independent, and I have an idea. I will sell $5 million, where he wants a cashier's check up front. And once it's cleared, he's going to give you the solution to the world's problems handed on an index card. You know what that index card probably says? Pray. Or who knows what it says? You know, $5 million. You know, yeah. What a way to try to get some cash. Yeah, that's one of those emails you just see and you delete. All right, on a scary front, those of you that are on Comcast, those of you that are streaming like I do, to the internet, like to Ustream, if Comcast detects that you're using more than 70% of your max bandwidth downstream or upstream for more than 15 minutes, or if your particular cable modem termination system gets congested and it decides that you're responsible, you can expect yourself in the timeout corner for at least 15 minutes or until your average bandwidth utilization drops below 50% utilization for 15 minutes. Wow. So if you're running 70% of your max bandwidth for more than 15 minutes, they're going to shut you down. I'm telling you right now, I'm using more than 50% of my bandwidth allocation. We have got this. You know what this is? They don't want you streaming any videos on a Vudu, on a Roku box. They don't want you streaming videos off the internet, HD stuff. They don't want you doing anything that's using the bandwidth too heavy. And if you are, they're going to shut you down. So the traffic wardens are going to be out there looking to see how much traffic you're using through your internet connection. Can you believe that? Comcast users, I'm sure Roadrunner's next. So who knows what's going to happen with that. All right, Windows 7 sales. 234% higher than Vista's first few days, although they think it might be because of the highly subsidized cost or the low cost for the Windows 7 upgrade. And lots of machines going off shelves. Everyone seems to be pretty happy with the rollout so far, so we'll see what happens. How many of you heard about this Twitter Peak phone? Twitter Peak is a Twitter company idea. All this phone does, and you pay a couple hundred bucks for the phone, all it does is Twitter. You can reply, retweet, direct message, put a new tweet. You can look at the at replies. You can do direct messages. You can look at your tweets. And you can buy the device, and $99 for 6 months of service or $199 for lifetime use. And it just all it does is Twitter. Separate device, and it's about the size of a BlackBerry. No. Why would you buy just a device that would Twitter? That's it? I don't get it. I really don't. You don't have to be, if you want one, $199 for lifetime use. I don't know if that includes the price of the device or not. Hey, on the last show, I talked a little bit about Vudu and how their labs has got Pandora, Picasa, Flickr is connected to their device. You definitely want to check that out if you've got a Vudu box. I'm pretty impressed with what they're doing there. Hey, Toshiba has a 320-gig hard drive now. It's four in a 1.8-inch size, in other words, laptop size. And there's a picture of a AA battery standing next to this thing. And this is the world's largest capacity 1.8-inch hard drive and 320 gigs. It's a 5,400 RPM drive. And it's supposed to be available in December under mass production. So keep your eyes peeled on that. All right, here over on Geek News Central, one of the articles that was written by Susabel. Of course, she's one of the longtime listeners of the show. She's got she's calling Verizon out. Verizon, of course, has announced that they are doubling the early termination fees to any of you that are going to get a smartphone through Verizon. They're going to raise the fees to as much as $350 for some users. And Susabel's not at all happy about this. She goes on to say, adding a hefty early termination fee to already ridiculously inflated service plans isn't the best way to get me as a customer. You can market me until you're blue in the face, but if I feel like I'm going to be taken advantage of, I'm going to walk away. I don't mind paying a fair and reasonable price for a decent service, and I don't mind that wireless carriers are making a profit. What I do mind is that wireless carriers are making billions of dollars in profit, yet fuss that they do not have the capital to invest in expanding their infrastructure. So I agree, Susabel. You hit this one on the mark. You got a nasty comment from one of the listeners. You have to check that out. And he's basically saying, oh, suck it up. It's tough business. You know what? No, it's not. $350 for a termination fee? Give me a break. Another article that's over at geeknewscentral.com is about GeekNet. SourceForge has announced that it has changed its names to GeekNet Incorporated to more effectively and to more accurately reflect the company's business and growing market it serves. You know, SourceForge, everyone knows what SourceForge is, and they're renaming it to GeekNet. Hey, GeekNet, you're pretty close to Geek News. And the site is at geek.net. You're getting kind of geeky there, GeekNet, close to Geek News Central. So you better be careful there. You should have stayed SourceForge. Just kidding. All right, over on Gizmodo. Laser Motives Robot is a robot is the first ever to win the NASA's $900,000 Space Elevator Prize. You guys got to see this. This is cool. Yes, you heard me correctly. Space Elevator. When you check this out, I think you're going to be like, wow. That's cool. And you basically give them a round of applause for scoring a 900K. I think that's good. It was able to climb a 2,953-foot long ribbon. Yes, a ribbon, securing the $900,000 prize. Now, once you see how they actually did it, I think you're going to be pretty amazed. Link will be up in the show notes. Hey, we're on Gizmodo, HD Media Player Battle, and it talks about different devices you can buy instead of the Apple TV. Talks about video quality, drive support, online services, photo and music, perks, as far as, in other words, can it be hacked, price, size, and lots of big time. This is one of the better reviews I've seen in a while. The folks over at Gizmodo did it. It goes over the Western Digital Unit, Seagate Unit, Popcorn Hour, the Patriot device, and Netgear. It basically shows you all the interfaces and stuff. I don't know why they didn't put a Roku in here, but this gives you an idea what some of these devices are capable of. I highly recommend that you check this out. This is a great review and great heads-to-heads-up match between it and the Apple TV. So very good stuff there. Link will be up in the show notes. All right, if you're a Facebook fan, you spend a lot of time on Facebook, well, Facebook very shortly is going to bring some new capabilities to their chat client. You're going to be able to chat with folk on MSN, Yahoo, and also AIM. So you know what they're doing there is that they're trying to, you know, consolidate where you do your chatting. And so the instant messaging world better be ready because Facebook is coming with their new chat module. And we'll see what happens with this. But I don't spend enough. I go to Facebook once or twice a day, maybe, to check things out. So we'll see. Will you guys use the chat client over there? Or would you just continue to use like Pigeon or Trillian or one of the other devices? All right, hey, all of you guys that spend all your time on the internet, and you've been told by your family members again and again, hey, you're just a hermit, you're in your closet, you don't have no friends, you don't have a life. Well, GigaOhm is reporting on a study that it says that those of us that are geeks and hermits that basically sit in front of our computers and do social networking stuff, we actually have friends. It goes on to say, those who own cell phones tend to have 25% more core network members who are not family members. Internet users have 15% additional core network ties who are not members of a family. Using the internet home more than a few times per day is associated with an additional 17% more non-kin as part of their network. Those who use the net for instant messaging have 19% additional non-kin in their core networks. Sharing photos online associated with having a larger core network of non-kin, such as those who upload photos to share with others, they have 12% more non-kin in their network. So no, we are no longer hermits, folks. We actually have friends. The nerds and the geeks out there, we have a network of friends and people we know. The sad point is, most of us don't get to see those folks half the time. You know, friends in the podcasting space, I run into sometimes once a year. I talk to friends of mine on the phone all the time, you know, on a weekly basis by seeing them, you know, once a year, twice a year. I guess maybe that's no different than real life and some of the friends we have and hang out with here in Hawaii. But obviously there's a geographical distance between us, but you know, with video, you know, Skype video and everything else, you know, really we're not that far away anymore. It's not really that big of a world, folks. And having been around it more than probably 20 or 25 times, it's really a pretty small world out there in the scheme of things, okay? So, yes, we're not hermits. We actually have friends. So that's – I think we all knew that already. All right, late photos of Microsoft Courier are pretty amazing. This Courier booklet device, man, if this thing turns out to be half of what it appears to be, I am going to have one of those immediately. There's a dual 7-inch screen. They're multi-touch. They're designed for writing, flicking, and drawing with a stylus in addition to fingers. They're connected together with a hinge that holds a single iPhone SQ, you know, basically type button. It has wireless signal and battery life are displayed along with the rim of the screens. And on the back cover is a camera, and it might charge through an inductive pad like the Palm Touchtone charging dock for Pre. You got to see this photo gallery. And don't tell me you're not excited about this. If you are a true geek, this thing's going to make you go gaga. It really, really is. And if Apple comes up with anything half as cool, you're going to see everyone carrying these things. It's pretty neat. So I have a link up in the show notes. You got to check it out. You really do. Hey, WordPress users, you know, I've talked about the RSS Cloud quite a little bit. You know, I think what Dave Weiner's on to with instant updating of RSS feeds is really the future. But now those of you that are on WordPress, they're now supporting the two enhancements to the RSS Cloud. And basically you instantly be able to people be able to get instant updates of your websites on a moment-to-moment basis. Very, very cool for WordPress users. And I don't know if that's for the actual WordPress.org site or if it's for the baseline product as well that we run on our servers. But this is a great – this is really good. It really, really is. So pay attention to this, bloggers. Really, really do. All right, there's a new feature coming in Twitter called Retweet. Well, Todd, I can already retweet. Yes, you can, but there's a small percentage of accounts that they've added a button that makes forwarding a particular interesting tweet to all your followers very easy. Just click and it's done. So I haven't seen it on my account yet. Have you seen it on yours? Get a screenshot. I want to check it out. All right. We've talked about SSL a little bit on the show before. Researchers say that they found a flaw in the secure sockets layer protocol that allows attackers to inject text into encrypted traffic passing between two accounts. It appears that there's a big meeting going on in secret where the tech community is getting together and they're trying to figure out how to plug this SSL protocol security issue. And it's getting a lot of attention. A draft is expected to be submitted submitted today to the Internet Engineering Task Force. And this is big. This is really, really big. Now, if you need an SSL certificate, you know where to go, GoDaddy.com. I've got a promo code for you for that. But this is going to be huge. And, of course, Apache and many other different varieties of web servers are going to need to be updated. So we'll see what happens. I'll have more information as this develops. But be careful making transactions out there, folks. Really are. And, of course, you're on secure sites probably all the time. So, okay, I don't know what's happened, but the voicemail hotline is like died. I called it today to make sure that it was still working because it's been like 3 shows and no one's called, so I'm probably shaming someone to call me because I'm feeling lonely. But here's the number. Get your pencils out. 619-342-7365. Again, 619-342-7365. I guess I'm going to have to start making weird comments to get you guys to react. That's the voicemail hotline, geeknews@gmail.com. I've got a number of emails to go through here. A lot of suggestions on the video stuff. Let me go ahead and load the folder. And where are we at on time? Oh, we're doing okay on time. Got an email from Timothy. say, hey, Todd, a friend of mine back in Indiana asked me to check out his company. It sounded pretty interesting. It's not exactly the tech stuff you talk about, but you may find it interesting. After all, we need fuel. And it talks about global change for biofuel solutions. I have this link out in the show notes. You can check this out. I want to thank Eric for his video suggestions. Some of those are really cool. But you know what I need to do, Eric? I need to put a TV behind me instead of in front of me. But anyway, that's some cool stuff. I want to thank Sam, part of the Ohana out in Albuquerque, for sending me some suggestions. Actually, two pages of suggestions. I want to thank Jeffrey for sending some stuff. I got an email from Martin. He said, hey, Todd, I thought I'd pass on an interesting link for the show. It's about a secret knock detecting door lock. Now, just imagine you go up to a door and you knock on the door a certain way and the door unlocks. I'll let you check that out. Got an email from Bree. Of course, Bree's out in Washington, D.C. And you have got to see this video. I have this link up in the show notes. It's the anti-gravity EM drive that could change everything. In other words, you know George Jetson and his flying car? We could be close, folks. Got to check this video out. If he gets this going, it's going to be really, really cool. Got an email from Timothy. And, hey, thanks, Timothy, for your suggestions on the video. And one thing about the eye contact is, you know, I love my big screen here. Okay, I got a big, fat, flat monitor. And obviously, I got a camera over here to the left of me. It's pretty hard to keep going back and forth to the camera and staying on track with the content. Because I quote stuff out of articles and so forth, so it makes it a bit of a challenge to do so. And so I'm trying to make contact with the audience. I got to figure out a way to make this work so that it looks like I'm always looking at the camera, but it's a work in progress. Don't have time to script this thing and have a teleprompter, and that's the last thing you guys want me to go to. For sure on the audio show or the video. But Timothy, thank you for your stuff. And also, man, oh man, your broken arm. One of our Ohana has broken his arm, and he sent me a link to it. It's on his website, The Adventures of Timothy and Carla. So I'll share this with everyone. You guys can check out what Timothy did. Dude, be careful out there. Slipping and falling is not good. And I got an email from, this is from the last show. I guess that's it. Okay, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline, +1-619-342-7365. I promise on the next show not to spend so much time yakking about the video stuff. But I got a lot of things cooking here, folks, really, really do. And, you know, for some reason, and I just got to tell you this, Tuesday night I was ready to get on an airplane and go to Vegas. Yeah, because I'm like so excited about CES. Up until this point, I've kind of been like, oh, CES again. It's going to kill me. It's a hard show to do. And it really is hard. It is full on 24 hours a day for a week where you're like in afterburner mode. And that's why we're bringing more people to Vegas this year, because we're trying to lighten the load a little bit, and we've got some strategies in place. But you know, working with my team at Raw Voice, working with the guys I go out with every year to Vegas with, and then bringing in additional team members, it's going to be exciting. We got some real. It's going to be really exciting if we can pull off everything we want to do, and with a smaller show, it's going to give us more access. Less people are going to be in attendance. It should be a bonanza of information, tech-aphoria. And we want all of you to help us spread the word on basically the content that's coming out. Still trying to secure a couple more sponsors, because this is a – man, this thing's expensive to pull off. So if you're looking to get some major exposure, we reached over 13 million people in 2009 with the content out there. 2010, it's going to be just as big and probably bigger considering there won't be as many people there. So if you want to be a sponsor, if you want to get some access – unlike in some exposure, unlike any exposure you're going to get anywhere else, you definitely want to send me an email. We'll get hooked up and get you some exposure in front of all these audiences when we're doing our live stuff out there. So Anyway, that's it for tonight's show. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. I'm finishing at a record early time here in Honolulu. It's 9 p.m. It's a beautiful, beautiful time to finish up. It doesn't matter when you're listening to the show, morning, night, or evening. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family, part of the Ohana. Share the show with folks you know. Tell them about it. Get them subscribed up and tune them into what I think is the best doggone tech show in the web space. Of course, I'm very much biased. And no matter who else is out there, I know there's some other big names. We're coming, baby. Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline, +1 619-342-7365. Everyone take care and aloha.